Welcome to our Sunday worship on the 24th of January. Today we are delighted to welcome the moderator, the Right Reverend Dr. Martin Fair, who otherwise would have been with us enjoying some time here in the West Highlands. But he will be with us for this, our video worship, and for our Zoom service at 11 o'clock today. Welcome to you all. Welcome, moderator. We gather together, although we are apart. We come to worship our God, and we begin as we sing or listen and reflect upon the words to Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Now let us join together as we pray. Almighty and loving God, we gather as disciples of Jesus, called, invited to serve in the ongoing work of the kingdom. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, our time here on earth short compared to the eternal life to follow. And yet you give us this life, and you call us to use it in your service, like all those faithful servants before us, and those still to come. We are a part of the body of Christ, in all its different branches and traditions around our country and around our world. Like disciples then, and through the generations, we are ordinary people with ordinary lives, called to do something extraordinary. May we feel worthy of your call. May we trust that we can do all you ask. May we know that you will support us in all of it. And forgive us, Lord Jesus, for the times when we have felt unworthy, for the times when we have not trusted or felt supported. Help us always to turn to you for help and guidance, trusting that you will answer us. May we always take refuge in your love and strength, knowing that you are always with us. These are prayers, this our worship, our lives and our love, we offer again to you, our God of love. Amen. We are in the midst of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which runs from the 18th to the 25th, so finishes tomorrow. Our readings today pick up on that theme of Christian unity. We hear first from Psalm 133, which will be read for us by Jean Campbell from Strontian, and then words from John's Gospel, chapter 17, read by Lynn Mowat from Lochallen. Let us listen for God's word.
Today's reading comes from Psalm 133, in praise of brotherly love. How wonderful it is, how pleasant for God's people to live together in harmony. It is like the precious anointing oil running down from Aaron's head and beard, down to the collar of his robes. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon, falling on the hills of Zion. That is where the Lord has promised his blessing, life that never ends. Here ends today's reading.
Today's reading comes from John chapter 17, starting at verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Amen, and thanks be to God.
I wonder if you've ever been at an event or some kind of occasion, and afterwards, when discussing it with others who were there, you find out that you've remembered it somewhat differently to them, or you've remembered certain aspects of the event that hadn't struck others at the time. Might be, for example, that Elaine and I have been guests at a wedding, and maybe that evening or the next day, in casual conversation, Elaine will say, "Wasn't the bride's dress absolutely gorgeous?" And I'll have to confess, "Well, can you remind me what it looked like? I'd hardly noticed." On the other hand, I'll say to her, "Wasn't the steak pie the best you've had in a long time?" You see, we were both at the same event, but certain aspects of it struck her and other things appealed to me. I think that's a helpful way for us to begin to understand what we have in the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke often come at it from one perspective, and John from a different one. Now, it's not that they contradict one another. It's not that they're describing entirely different events. It's just that they choose to draw out certain things that are important to one and less so to another. You really need to put all four Gospels together to get the whole story. For example, when we come to those events near the end of Jesus' life, preceding his arrest and trial and crucifixion, particularly events around the Passover meal that Jesus celebrated with his disciples, you'll find that the different gospel writers remember and therefore present different aspects of that to us. So Matthew, Mark and Luke focus in on the meal and what happened immediately at the end of it, when Jesus took bread and broke it and declared that this is my body which is broken for you, and then when taking wine and pouring it out, again pointing to what was to happen, that his lifeblood was to be poured out, and that he was doing that for them. Well, of course, on the back of that report that we have in the first three Gospels, we also find it in Paul, in his writing, his letter to the Corinthians. We find the same thing he describes, and reminding us and encouraging us and instructing us, when we remember Jesus, to do the same. To break bread and to share wine together. Of course, it's what we call communion. But if you turn up John's Gospel and read the passages around the Passover meal, you'll find that John doesn't mention this whole business of the breaking of bread. That's not to say that it didn't happen, it clearly did. But John chooses to bring to our attention a different aspect of what took place in the upper room on that occasion. John chooses to tell us about the washing of feet. Do you remember that? Jesus gets up from the table and, wrapping a towel around his waist, he goes to his disciples, he kneels before them and begins to wash their feet. Now, it was Peter. It was nearly always Peter, wasn't it, who had something to say. It was Peter who said, "Lord, there's no chance that you'll be washing my feet." And of course, you'll remember the interaction. Jesus says that he has to. Peter says, "Well, wash the whole of me then." Jesus says, "It's the feet that I'll be washing." You can go and read up the passage for yourself. But on the back of the foot washing incident, Jesus wants to teach his disciples the importance of serving, and that no one should ever get above their station. Service is always what we're called to. Metaphorically, to be on our knees in front of others. When I was invited to become the moderator of the General Assembly this year, it seemed very important to me that what I wanted to do in the role was to continue to serve. Of course, as a minister of nearly 30 years standing within the parish, that's what I've been doing. I've been serving in the local situation. Now, as moderator, I have wanted nothing more than to serve at the national level. Friends, that's what I think we're encouraged to do. And Jesus made it clear by kneeling before his disciples. All of us are called to serve, and any one of us can serve. Jesus goes on to talk about his command that we love one another. And then a few chapters later, the chapter we heard read this morning, we find Jesus in prayer for his disciples. He knows, of course, that his time is short. He prays for their protection, that they'll be kept safe even though still being in the world. And then he goes on to pray this most important prayer. "Father, I pray that they may all be one, so that others will believe that you sent me." A prayer for unity. A prayer for Christian unity. Jesus praying for his disciples then and for all his followers ever after, including now, that we would all be one. Wow, what a prayer. You know, the church has taken very seriously the business of sharing bread and wine together. We could hardly think it possible to neglect the sacrament, although during lockdown we've been challenged in that direction. But what about the washing of feet? Maybe we nod in that direction at Easter time. Maybe we reenact the washing of feet, but it's hardly a common experience for Christians today. And what about the prayer that Jesus offered on the back of the Passover meal, that we might all be one? How seriously do we take that prayer? How seriously are we trying to be the answer to that prayer, that we might all be one? Let me suggest that it requires a commitment from us. Firstly, to work for and to sustain unity within the congregation. You know, we're all human. It's the easiest thing in the world to be intolerant one with another from time to time. It requires effort, commitment, dedication to living in peace one with another, to embedding unity into the life of the congregation, so that we allow for one another and that we love one another. That's first. Secondly, we need to work for unity among our congregations, whether those be ones immediately neighbouring us or a little further afield. We're all on the same team and need to work together accordingly. I've been speaking recently to the minister of Castle Milk Church in Glasgow, one of the more deprived areas in Glasgow and in the whole of Scotland. The minister there was describing to me how the church at Eaglesome, a more affluent area to the south of the city, has been taking up very regular collections of food parcels and delivering them to the congregation at Castle Milk that they in turn might, what? Feed the hungry, serve those in need. I thought, what a wonderful example of congregations working together, of congregations being in unity one with another, called to the same purpose. And thirdly, we are called to work for unity between Christian denominations. Today, this Sunday, the 24th of January, brings to an end the week of prayer for Christian unity, a week that is noted every year, a reminder to us that though we are different, though we are diverse, still we are one in unity in Christ, different denominations. I'm not sure what the story is in your part of the world, but growing up on the south side of Glasgow, I became very aware of the sectarian stain that colours the story of that part of the world, at least. It's been a joy to me while serving this year as moderator to have had opportunity to work more closely with leaders from other denominations. This year, as a response to COVID, there was formed a Scottish Church Leaders Forum. It hadn't existed before. Now it's going strong. Leaders from the Roman Catholic Church, from the Scottish Episcopal Church, from the Baptist Union, from the Methodist Church, and so on and so on. All the denominations together, working together as we respond to COVID and as we consider the mission of the church in Scotland today. Of all the things that I've been involved in as moderator, I have to say that has brought me particular joy to be working so closely together with my brothers and sisters. It's Christian unity that we're working for, and the truth is, it's there. There is so much more that we agree about than that might potentially be the cause for disagreement. So unity was what Jesus prayed for after the Passover meal, after the breaking of bread. May it be so that among all of us, in our congregations, between our congregations, and among our various denominations, that we recognise Christ as one, and therefore that we be as one. Amen.
Our prayer for ourselves and for others in this week of Christian unity. Let us pray. Loving Father, we come together again as a family of believers. We are your people. We may all be individuals with different ideas, different understandings, different backgrounds, different contexts, but we come together as your people. We pray for each other. Although we are many, Lord, please help us to bind together and be as one. We come with different experiences of your love. Sometimes we struggle to see where you are in our lives, and at other times it's so obvious. And we see you through other people, through the hands, through the healing, through the care, through the smiles, through the pot of soup that arrives on the doorstep. We see you in so many ways, Lord. Help us to minister to others as you have ministered to us. We come with a mixture of gifts and talents. We know deep down that they all come from you, that these are God-given gifts and talents. Help us to share the gifts and spread the love. Help others to see you through us. We come together today rejoicing in our unity through the internet. We rejoice in our diversity. We celebrate that we are all different, that we've all had different experiences, but all together they make up what we are, the body of Christ on earth. And we are so aware, Lord, of all that divides us as well as all that unites us. So many different denominations, maybe unwilling to accept that people have different ideas. May we have open minds, Lord, as well as open hearts. Wherever your body, Lord, is broken, make us one. Pray for those who feel threatened at the moment. Threatened at all the changes that are going on in churches, in worshipping bodies. We pray for those whose buildings have gone, who feel that that is where they should be. Whether it's through the COVID closure, whether it's through changes that are happening in presbyteries and around Scotland today. Lord, may we realise that you are still with us. You will always be with us. We pray for fellowships that have been torn apart by the restrictions placed on us by COVID. Help us to find contentment and new joy in online worship, in being together in different ways. Help us all to move towards new ways of finding unity, whether it is online, whether it's through being part of a postal outreach, however it is, Lord, may we recognise that your Spirit is moving us on into different ways of working. Help your church reach out and work in hearts everywhere to break down barriers, to overcome prejudices, to bring people together in the genuine love and care that you have shown us. Wherever, Lord, your body is broken today, make us one. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And with our prayers, we offer all that we have, all that we are, all that we are yet to be. We offer the gifts of money that we are able to bring to the church, our time, our talents, our abilities. Holy God, may your Holy Spirit daily nudge us in the way we are meant to go. May we always look to Jesus as our guide as we walk this journey of life. Take all that we offer today. Use our gifts of money for the building of your kingdom. Use our talents to help others to come to know you and grow in discipleship, love, and unity. Lord, all we have to offer, we give to you today and always. And we bring all our praying together as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Let all creation sing before the Lord, and every nation of the earth rejoice. Let all the trees lift a shout of joy, for the Lord is King. Let the deep waters of the sea resound. Let every mountain, every hill sing out. Let all the fields make a joyful sound, for the Lord is King. Mighty river, barren desert, howling wind and stormy weather. Every canyon, every valley, sing your praise and give him glory. Nature proclaims the glory of our God. Nature proclaims his name. Let all creation sing before the Lord, and every nation of the earth rejoice. Let all the trees lift a shout.
God loves you. Go in peace and know the blessing from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you, with all those you love and those you should love today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.